Truth versus News Incorporated. This is just something else here, I tell you. We've had a heck of a first hour on all the events of this last week in July 22nd. And today, and all kinds of things with the Secret Service hearing and everything else. But we got Scott here who wants to comment on that first hour. So you should watch at least the last 10 minutes of the first hour because Scott's points will really hit home, right?
Well, Don, I just wanted to say a couple quick things about Iran. When I did the analysis of the Trump assassination thing on RT, the very day it happened, I said they're going to try and blame Iran. And lo and behold, CNN comes up with Avril Haines, the director of National Intelligence, saying we've got reports that Iran wanted to harm President Trump. The same kind of lies that they pulled out. About Iraq and threats against George Bush Sr. So I called it before it happened, but it brings us into the Iranian orbit because I've said for a long time I think the Zionist and much of the pro-Trump independent media are kind of swallowing this hook too, and that is that they're making the claims of Iranian agents coming across, the border, and they're going to do harm and terrorism against the United States. And I think that is a complete false flag. The Jews, the Zionists, are saying that and setting it up so that they can try and trigger a war against Iran, thinking that the United States is going to ride like the cavalry, or Don Trump is going to come across like Gandalf in The Return of the King over the hill, with all sorts of unicorns riding down the plains with rainbow flags and fight against Iran. That ain't going to happen. But it's important to understand Iran, and I've been there twice. I know the Iranian people and the Iranian media. I've met with a foreign minister, the guy that was killed in the helicopter crash. I even met with Raisi, the president, when he was the steward of Mashhad. And every Iranian I've come across, every single one, has been mild, polite, gentle, delicate, Western, wearing suits. They don't wear man dresses. The women aren't covered in burqas. They're very intelligent, sophisticated. And it is a tragedy of epic proportions that the American people don't know the Iranian people or culture as I do. And I think there's a few others. I think Jim does. I know Kevin Barrett does, and Michael Springman, and everybody who's been over to the New Horizons conference. But the Iranians are a natural courting friend to the United States. Everybody under the age of 50 does not want to resurrect this hostility from 1979. The only people that want to abuse and make war against Iran based on 1979 are wearing diapers and on Alzheimer's medication, and they don't have any business talking about American policy now. So Iran's a very young country too. But I've never encountered a foul word or a tone of aggression or anger in Iran, and it would be a be it's a very great country, and it's conservative, it's traditional. Women are not subjected to abuse. They wear their headscarves, but they wear them back, and some of them don't wear them at all. They don't throw homosexuals off the rooftops. All of that is another Zionist lie. So they're trying now, and I think it's going to fail, to try and whip up this Iranian aggression. Now, when I hear Blinken say, we should return to the Iranian JCPOA deal, I think that's also a psyop within a psyop to try and paint the Democrats in the long-term light. I mean, Blinken is a Jewish, self-admitted Jewish Zionist. They have only one agenda for Iran, and that is complete breakup and dismemberment, the Greater Israel Project. So this is going to be interesting, and this is where I don't trust Trump, because I think he is too ignorant and inexperienced and not worldly enough to appreciate, and he's too old to appreciate the new Iran. Forget the old Iran. The new Iran is the only one that matters. And every foreign policy choice and relationship that we make should be made without Israel as the looking glass through which we view these things. And finally, I'll say, with regards to Russia and Zakharova and Lavrov and all of that, Putin is loved by his country and he loves his country. I do not suspect at all that he does anything to harm his country, or if it's in the interest of Zionists or Israel. I know there's been talk about his Jewish mother and all that. I put that to the side. Russia is a militarized country. Its entire population have been mobilized because of the war that was impressed against it. This war was taken against Russia. It didn't invade anyone. It went in to defend its people and its territory that have lived there for thousands of years. And Russia is mobilized now. They don't trust anyone in Washington. Lavrov has said, we're not going to have a relationship with America for 20, 30 years. And yeah, that's because he's saying the entire generation needs to turn over because of all this hostility that America has led with. America destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline. Scholz allowed it. He should be executed like Mussolini for the treason he did against the German people. When you say, "Well, I'll settle this fight against Russia. I'll make this work," Russia's not going to have it. Russia is not going to make a mistake. It's not going to back down in any way. It's not going to compromise. And if they have to mobilize their entire country to push America out of Ukraine entirely, and including if they have to go and start doing guerrilla warfare attacks and destroy every Nazi sympathizing Azov battalion that is going around Europe now, setting up little polling booths and recruitment facilities, Russia will do that because it lost a third of its population in World War II, and it will never go through that again. It's a totally different culture and people. So they're mobilized for full war, not that they want it, but they are not going to be abused anymore. So, Trump, we're in a losing position all the way around with regards to, again, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the BRICS countries, Russia. Everything is mobilized against us. And everything that's happened to Gaza, the blood is on Netanyahu's hand and on American politicians' hand and on every American citizen's hands. The blood that we've spilled in Gaza and Palestine is on all of us. And that's something that people say, "Well, not in my name. I didn't do this." Bullshit if you didn't. These people in Washington, these people in the military, they're not foreigners, they're Americans. So, sometimes that's why civil wars happen. Civil wars and revolutionary wars is to rise up and overthrow these tyrants, these spies, these dual Israeli citizens, or any other dual citizen that is working on behalf of another country. So everything that's been happening over there, I think, is going to be visited upon us. And what we've done in a karmic sense in unleashing all of this bloodshed on Belgorod, on Sherebinka, on the Donbass, on Crimea, firing weapons. And I was there, I won't get passionate. But I was there and I saw drones coming across and exploding in the sky, and my hotel room in Belgrade was shaking, and I had to dig out shrapnel from the doors because these bastards were firing weapons to kill Russian citizens, Russian women and children. I saw it, I was there. So it's a crime against humanity. It's a war crime that every American is guilty of being a terrorist on a macro legal level, if you will, because we're allowing this. So what we've done to the Donbass and these areas of Russia, I think, is going to be visited upon the United States, and the Democrats are going to be leading it. They were the ones who brought over the Ukrainians in 2020, 2021, actually, to break windows at the Capitol building. Those Ukrainians. And they'll do the same thing in Europe, and they'll do the same thing within the United States, because the Democrats have to create civil war in order to retain power. Jim?
Ryan.
Wow.
America puts policies into place to protect itself so that things fail when leadership, so that things don't fail when leadership is checked out or can't be there to make a proper decision. Look at the Secret Service. What are the policies that are in place that say, watch for the shooter? Obviously, we're breaking down. It's right now, it sends a message to the rest of the world that we're vulnerable. And you got to remember that for the last 40, 50, 60 years, we've been running CIA coups against patriots and all nations around this world. We've have contributed to the distribution of methamphetamines and opiates around the world. And we've acquired $34.4 trillion in debt. The American citizens right now, that's, and we're putting on a new trillion every 100 days. The American people right now are frustrated. The 36% rate the current economy as poor. And I know that, ooh, the price of oil per barrel is down real low, but it doesn't even matter when the grocery stores are up 30 to 50%. We're vulnerable right now because our enemies can smell blood in the water. Biden stepping down, no more checks and balances in place. Who's running the show? Now, if I was one of America's enemies, I would want to strike between now and January 6th. I would want to do everything I can to make every move that I can possibly make to get myself into a position where I have more power than was had over me by America. And I would do it as quickly as possible between, again, now, that's less than 6 months. All those moves are going to cause a great deal of instability, a great deal of instability. And I imagine that things like the Minsk agreements and things like the 2015 Iran nuclear deal that Biden promised to put back into place, which didn't work, is it's just more of, it was 2014, it was the Minsk agreements that we screwed them on. 2015, it was the Iran nuclear deal that we screwed them on. We've screwed everybody except for Israel out there. We've screwed Germany, we've screwed you name it, Russia with the pipelines. Biden's legacy at this point in time, we got to be honest about what it really is. He's leaving a legacy of absolute instability. 205,000 apprehensions in June alone at the US border. 2.5 million people came through in 2024. Drug overdoses are one of the leading causes of injury and death among adults in the United States. Synthetic opioids and stimulants are totally out of control right now, and people can't afford to pay for their, like I said, the grocery bills are in sometimes double or triple what they used to be. The foreign policy track record, okay, we've given Ukraine a bunch of military supplies to fight Russia. In theory, we have allowed the Gaza war based on a false flag to take place, resulting in the deaths of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. And then, of course, the cherry on top was Biden's failure to restore the nuclear deal before the end of his lame duck presidency is in place. We are weak right now. We have a lot of enemies. Now, I'm not trying to raise any sort of hazards or red lights about where we're at, but I'm telling you that with all the moves that other nations are going to be making, I believe instability is the only possible result. People are going to be begging for a messiah to put America back into its position as a global leader. And the Saudis and others are going to say nothing to do with it. BRICS is going to continue to grow out of control. The United Nations is going to continue to slip. Leaders around the world are no longer going to have the support of the USA intelligence infrastructure because it's in shambles as it gets torn apart by the new leaders that we put into place. We could be looking at, if now let me just ask you one final question. Would you want to be Donald Trump walking into this? Would you want to have that job? Is the man a
Maybe.
hero or is the man a villain? I
Maybe
don't know, but
crazy.
I'll take Donald Trump over anybody else that's possibly in the queue right now, given the entire gravity of the situation.
Well, let me just say, I could do it better than Donald Trump. I'd be a better commander of men than Donald Trump ever could be. But let me just say this too,
Amen.
Jim. Remember this: the anger that the American people felt about the assassin. Just imagine if Trump had been shot. Just imagine if he had been killed. Just imagine for a second what the entire American conservative, patriot, Republican, Christian, moderate, independent person would feel if Donald Trump was killed. And we knew who did it. Democrat, transgender, whatever. We knew it wasn't a Republican. We knew it wasn't a Christian. We knew it wasn't a patriot. It was the left. If Donald Trump was killed, that outrage, imagine that outrage, because that is the same outrage that every Iranian felt when Trump killed Soleimani. General Soleimani was the equivalent of our Donald Trump. to the Iranians. That is no exaggeration. They loved him. Iran was a tri is a tribal society. Soleimani was perceived as the George Washington, of Iran. And when we killed him, when Trump killed him, because Netanyahu and Pompeo and the rest of these liars manipulated him, but he was the one who gave the order. That outrage that the Iranians felt was the same outrage that Americans would have felt had Donald Trump been killed. People need to meditate on that because it's not a flippant thing. And Trump doesn't get a free pass on that assassination. Now, I'm not saying the Iranians had anything to do with his killing, nor would the Iranians take that kind of action against Trump. They don't do assassinations. They do not do that. They let that in the hands of God and the karmic, cosmic, circular table of justice. But we need to understand that what he did on Soleimani was felt throughout all of Iran. That gives you some perspective, Jim.
Yes, agreed. Yemeni forces launch a successful drone strike on central Tel Aviv. Is the U.S. Navy to blame? The Yemeni coalition launched a successful drone strike at the center of Tel Aviv. City internationally recognizes the Israeli capital. This was a sensational psyop. The attack is one of the latest by Yemeni forces against Israeli targets since the outbreak of hostilities between Israel and Palestinian militia groups in the Gaza Strip in October 2023. The strike caused several Israeli casualties, a single death, according to local sources, and impacted near the American consulate. The U.S. moved its embassy to Jerusalem in 2018. But the vast majority of countries maintain their embassies in the city of Tel Aviv. Here you see drones displayed during a Yemeni celebration. Look at those forces, and they are tough. The strike on Tel Aviv saw the first confirmed use of the new Yaffa long-range drone, reportedly designed specifically to bypass enemy air defenses. Their strategic partners, Iran and Hezbollah, have a long history of successful drone ops deep inside Israeli airspace, using both stealthy and non-stealthy aircraft, where Iran is reported to have supported the defense sector in Yemen to bolster its drone and cruise missile capabilities. Parallel to their ops against Israel, Yemeni forces have engaged in multiple skirmishes with the U.S. Navy from late 2023, with Western sources widely referring to the operations as the most intense combat the Navy has faced since the Second World War. U.S. Navy Super Hornets and Growler combat jets have engaged Yemeni drones on multiple occasions, in some instances, manned aircraft like helicopters, while Yemeni attacks on American ships have forced the Navy to expend significant quantities of costly SM-2 air defense missiles and AIM-102 CD and AIM-9X air-to-air missiles for interception. Here's the Eisenhower in the ocean there, where it's highly vulnerable. U.S. Navy ops have been widely criticized for failing to erode the coalition military capabilities or end its ability to threaten Western and Israeli shipping in the Red Sea. The latest strike on Tel Aviv provides one of the most conspicuous demonstrations. The campaign's been widely criticized by sources for serving to undermine America's struggling Navy where it's most needed in the Pacific. And for nearly 9 months now has drained American resources with few tangible results. The expenditure of significant quantities of missiles, especially for air defense, has forced the Navy to request additional funding to replenish its stock and raise calls for a significant increase of reserves of missiles for American warships. Considering the coalition's limited capabilities, the Navy's inability to gain a decisive victory has sent a signal to both American security partners and its adversaries that is highly unfavorable to Washington's interests.
Following Yemen's unprecedented attack on Israel yesterday, in which they killed one member of Israel's engineering corps, according to multiple reports in Israel, we had an unprecedented response from Israel on Yemen directly. So Yemen attacked them with a drone yesterday, again in an unprecedented attack that covered a long distance, in which they used several methods to avoid detection, including taking different routes and traveling very low, a very low altitude, reaching the coasts of Tel Aviv and targeting the designated location. Now we had the response from Israel. According to multiple reports, we had over 12 F-35s attacking Yemen that had to refuel during the way as well, because it's a very long journey, and they targeted Yemen's oil reserves and electric power plants as well. These were not military targets. The confirmation that's coming from the IDF is saying that the Yemenis were hiding military equipment next to these oil reserves, which is a blatant lie. Yesterday we were talking about the fact that Israel does not have a bank of military targets when it comes to Yemen, because you've had the genocide coalition led by the United States and the UK being incapable to do anything to stop their attacks. So Israel will definitely not be able to. However, what they wanted to do in this attack today is send a message. They wanted to send a message to everyone, and they also did not want the attack on Tel Aviv to set a precedent to the future. Now, although Israel acts as if it protects all Israeli cities in a similar manner, many people, including in Israel, see very clearly that Israel has priorities when it comes to certain areas. If they let the attack yesterday go away and they allowed the resistance fronts to attack Tel Aviv in a more regular manner, that's not something that they would have tolerated. So they had to retaliate. That's why we had this attack today. It was more of a message rather than attacking anything strategic that will prevent attacks on Israel as a whole. Now, there are many things to this. We have people involved. What did the US and the UK do? Was Saudi Arabia aware? And what will the Yemeni response be, including the resistance fronts? We're not just talking about Yemen here, we're talking about the other resistance fronts. And one primary front is the Lebanese front when it comes to the response, especially seeing the scale of this attack in Yemen. And a big part of it was obviously a message to Iran. The Israeli defense minister was quoted saying, "Everyone in the Middle East saw the flames." And this is exactly what Israel intended, for everyone to see the big flames coming out. Although these serve the civilians, these are not military targets. I will be talking about more of this in my live stream tonight with all of the details and live coverage.
Scott, your thoughts?
Well, I won't go into the detail. We talked offline. I'll say the Yemenis did a psyop. They did a firing into Israel. They dropped flyers. They hit Tel Aviv. And they will continue to hit Tel Aviv and Hebron, and they will continue to hit the luxury stores and the supermarkets and the hospitals and all of the places that Israelis soak in the luxury of a peaceful life. That's shattered. The Yemenis are going to go after all of those sites, not military targets. They'll do that as well, but they're going to go after targets of Israeli society, so that they impress upon the Israeli society what you've done to Yemen, what you've done to Palestine, what you've done to the Palestinian children are going to be done to you and your children. You blow off the faces and the legs and the arms of Palestinian children who are innocent, we're going to blow off the faces and the arms and the legs of Israeli children. You start destroying Palestinian families, we'll destroy Israeli families. I think this is about to go violent and kinetic in a way that we've never seen. And I think it is supported by the majority of the Muslim world, because what Israel has done is never going to be forgiven and forgotten. And there's There's no moral equivalence to it. Israel is, and the Israeli people are backing this wholesale slaughter of the Palestinians. So I think you're going to see Yemen emerge as the only country that is actually doing anything of significance. And all of the American ships in the Mediterranean, the Red Sea, and such, gone, dead. They're going to be sunk to the bottom of the ocean because Russia is going to give them whatever missile technology they need. As Brian wisely said, now is the time between now and January 6th for them to gain as much real estate as they can. It's like one of those homestead moments in 1840 or whenever it was, when they fired the gun and the pilgrims and the wagoneers roared into the plains and stuck stakes and flags into the ground and said, "This is our territory." You're going to see that wholesale from all sorts of different levels to say, "We're going to make as much advancements all over the world's real estate so that Donald Trump or whoever the American comes in is not going to be able to say, okay, here's how things are now." No, they're going to rechange the whole game board. So America has to either accept the new game board or waste time and resources trying to renegotiate deals out of the new game board. And the world's not going to take it either. That's the other thing. America is not perceived as friendly, diplomatic, intelligent, normal, moral, natural, godly, everything the opposite of that. You're trying to run homosexuality, transgenderism down African throats in these countries. Guess what? They kick you out. US Central Command, bye-bye. We don't want you in Niger. We don't want you in Mali. We don't want you in any of these African countries. We're going to Russia because they believe marriage is between a man and a woman. No, we're not going to accept climate change as the new religion or eat bugs or cancer is meat and all the other crap that comes out of Noah Harari and Klaus Schwab and all of these other Europhiles. This is what the Middle East and Asia and Africa are saying, and India as well. So they may not be these primp and proper, bow tie wearing white European aristocrats, but they're pretty much a hell of a lot more moral than those white button tie aristocrats and their cousins who dwell in Washington, D.C., Jim.
Brian.
On Wednesday, I believe Netanyahu, and I don't know if he turned around or not. I'm just going based on the information that I have. I believe Netanyahu is going to address a very cowardly and very compromised United States Congress that is in a very delicate position right now. Remember that it's the AIPAC-style Mossad operation that seems to have been adopted by the Republicans and much of our government in terms of it's a victory that can be gained through deception. And I can tell you right now that Israel and the Mossad operations that run them control our Congress by both carrot and stick. Who knows how many are actually compromised and on what level? And the shameful, shameful part about it is if Netanyahu gets the opportunity to address that Congress, I can guarantee you that there's going to be 30 or 40 standing ovations that pop up. It's going to be a terrible, shameful day, but basically everybody's yes-manning it to Israel and Netanyahu right now, related to these tragedies of all this loss of life that's taking place over in the Middle East. The Middle East is turning itself on fire, and I can guarantee you that Israel's neighbors are very upset with Israel right now. Egypt, Yemen, all they're all very upset. And look at how the UN right now has responded to what is these war crimes. They've basically fired a shot across India, Israel's bow, saying, "We are preparing a case against you. You will find a way to quit this, or we will absolutely continue to pursue this." That came from the highest court in the United Nations just this last week. So expect that there's going to be some sort of global retaliation. And the question right now is, why is Chuck Schumer, Israel's best friend, and Barack Obama and Hakeem Jeffries not supporting Kamala Harris? Probably because they know that she can't control the situation under any circumstances at all right now. However, the rest of the Democratic Party just seems to go along with the play, and like, God, they're such puppets, all of them. None of them can act and think independently. They think it's more important to have a cohesive power structure that fails than to have an actual thought out, logical approach to these global problems. So I expect a shameful, shameful day here in America if Netanyahu is given the opportunity to address Congress, and you will see who the real patriots are that want to make America great again, and you will also see who the rest of them are that are under the thumb of Israel's Mossad intelligence carrot and stick blackmail operation.
And the thing is, too, to remember, no American is going to put on a body armor vest and boots and go fight for Israel. No American is going to go over there and fight anyone on behalf of Israel, nor are they going to fight anyone in Russia. I mean, just think about it. Go and ask your neighbors. Would you go and fight for Israel? Maybe Charlie Kirk would, because he's not college educated either. He's a high school education. So, all these Muppets and the Republican National Convention who adoringly fawn over Trump, none of them have really served. And let me tell you something, J.D. Vance, one term in the Marine Corps, okay? You take a year and a half to get trained in the Marines, and then you go to deploy. That was it. He wasn't in for two tours or three tours. He was in for one alleged tour. I don't know exactly what he did, but he wasn't Marine Recon. He wasn't Special Operations. He wasn't Special Forces. He wasn't PSYOP. He was an average Marine, and he's married to an Indian woman, so he's claiming to be Christian, but he's married to some thuggy cult, blue monkey god worshiping Indian woman. There's something a little bit weird there. There's something a
No,
little bit weird about all
that's
of them.
something. American intelligence media put out a massive report this week saying that she's definitely Pilgrim Society. So you found your controller.
Yeah, she's scary and she's ugly as a sack of shit, I'll tell you that.
Fascinating. Meanwhile,
He's
here's a
pretty
report
amazing.
to which Brian has alluded. In an historic ruling, the International Court of Justice declares the Israeli occupation unlawful, calls for settlement to be evacuated, and for Palestinian reparations. Very serious. In a scathing advisory opinion, sure to heighten the legal screws on Israel, places Western allies in a huge bind. The world's supreme judicial body declared today Israel's 57-year occupation and settlement of the West Bank and East Jerusalem are unlawful, that both must end, and that settlement must be evacuated, and that Palestinians denied their inalienable right to self-determination must be compensated for their losses and allowed to return to their lands. The su sustained abuse by Israel of its position as an occupying power through annexation and an assertion of permanent control over the occupied Palestinian territory and continued frustration of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination violates fundamental principles of international law and renders Israel's presence in the occupied Palestinian territory unlawful. Lebanese court president Nawaf Salam told the packed court chambers at the Peace Palace in The Hague. And Judge Nawaf said, reading from the 83-page advisory opinion, the international community is obligated not to recognize as legal the internationally wrongful acts Israel has carried out in the course of its prolonged occupation, nor render aid and assistance in furthering them. All nine clauses of the advisory opinion's operative statement were passed by an overwhelming majority of the court's 15 justices. In contrast to its January 26 provisional measure order issued in response to South Africa's application under the Genocide Convention, advisory opinions from the UN Supreme Judicial Body are not binding. They are the most authoritative expressions of international law, however, and carry enormous political weight. In declaring Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories unlawful, the court moved far beyond its 2004 ruling on Israel's separation wall. That opinion simply declared the barrier illegal and an impediment to Palestinian people's right to self-determination. Israel ignored it, and its Western allies have refrained from enforcing it. In today's advisory opinion, the court re-enunciated the illegality of Israel's settlement enterprise under the Fourth Geneva Convention and confirmed the applicability of Geneva IV, the two covenants on civil, political, economic, social, and cultural rights, and the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination Outside Israel's Internationally Recognized Territory. Israel denies they apply. Sidestepping legal consequences of Israel's assault on Gaza, deemed plausibly genocidal in its entirely different provisional measure orders against Israel, the court confirmed that Gaza's status as an integral part of the occupied territories and Israel's status as occupying power preceded the events of October 7th. Today's ruling is the court's response to a request for an advisory opinion on the legal consequences rising from the policies and practices of Israel in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and on how those policies and practices affect the legal status of Israel's occupation, referred to it late last year by the UN General Assembly in a resolution Israel and its Western allies moved heaven and earth to stave off. In his letter to the ICI, informing it of the advisory opinion request, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres asked the ICJ to address the ongoing violation by Israel of the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination from its prolonged occupation, settlement, and annexation of the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, and from its adoption of related discriminatory legislation and measures. Reference to discriminatory legislation and measures in the General Assembly's advisory opinion request opened the door for the court to opine on the question of Israeli apartheid. And it did, crucially signing Article 3 of the 1965 Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination and Apartheid, in which apartheid is specifically prohibited, the first such prohibition predating the 1976 Apartheid Convention. The court observes that Israel's legislation and measures imposed and served to sustain a near-complete separation in the West Bank and East Jerusalem between the settler and Palestinian communities, today's advisory opinion says. For this reason, the court considers Israel's legislation and measures constitutionally a breach of Article 3. I think the finding of a breach of Article 3 is hugely significant, Irish legal scholar David Keane told Mondo Weiss following the ruling. Still, Keane brought out, a breach of Article 3 could refer to racial segregation or apartheid or both. Several judges brought up Article 3 breach in individual declarations without specifying apartheid. South African Judge Dyer Tladi did. I interpret this finding to be an acceptance that the policies and practices of Israel constitute a breach of the prohibition of apartheid, Judge Tladi wrote. I can understand there's a reluctance to describe the policies of Israel and the OPD as apartheid. I suspect the same reason for the hesitation is that to date, only the policies of the pre-1994 South African government in South Africa and elsewhere have been described as apartheid. Hard not to see that Israeli policies, legislation, and practices involve widespread discrimination against Palestinians in nearly all aspects of life, much like the case in apartheid South Africa. The court's ruling on Article 3, albeit nuanced, comes at an opportune moment. For the past 6 years, the committee has been addressing an interstate complaint lodged by Palestine against Israel, claiming Israel to be in breach of Article 3. The complaint have been idling in conciliation mode for over a year. Israel has refused to participate. Today's court reference to an Article 3 breach promises to accelerate. The advisory opinion does provide a platform to make an individuated decision on the issue of apartheid, David Keene told Mondo Weiss. Given the complexity of the question put to it by the General Assembly, the ICJ has responded quickly. In early January, Secretary General Guterres handed over 15,000 pages of UN reports and resolutions to the court, documenting the full spectrum of Israeli practices over 57 years of Israeli military occupation. 5 days of public hearings were held in mid-February. Israel breaches of international law are extensive and egregious, the top UN court was told in oral pleadings and written statements filed by 57 UN member states and three organizations, the League of Arab States, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and the African Union, the largest number ever to argue a case before the ICJ. The court questioned, has Israel's presence in the OPT crossed the line between lawful occupation, as defined and regulated under the 1907 Hague and 49 Geneva Conventions, and the inadmissible acquisition of territory by war, that is annexation? Yes, an increasing number of legal authorities have stated. In a fall 2017 report to the Human Rights Council, then Special Rapporteur Michael Link put forward a four-part test for the legality of the occupation. Israel failed by annexing portions of the territory it occupied in June of 1967, East Jerusalem and the Golan Heights, by failing to return the territory to sovereign Palestinian rule in a reasonable amount of time, by failing to act in the best interest of the Palestinian people, referred to under the Fourth Geneva Convention as a protected people, and fourth, by failing to act in good faith, in full compliance with its duties and obligations under international law and as a UN member state. And, Link and others argued, the ICJ has established a precedent on this matter. In its 1971 opinion on the continued presence of South Africa, Namibia, Southwest Africa, the court ruled South Africa had abused the terms of its trusteeship and its occupation was therefore illegal, and that the apartheid regime was obliged to withdraw its administration from Namibia immediately, and thus put an end to its occupation of the territory. Having failed to stave off an advisory opinion resolution at the UN, Israel's allies urged the court to decline to render one, even if the request was admissible and within the court's jurisdiction. Doing so would muck up the peace process, a bilateral dispute best resolved by the parties themselves. If it did render an opinion, to frame its opinion in the most narrow way possible, distancing itself from complex root causes going back a century, based on over 15,000 pages of documents provided to it by the General Assembly that the court hasn't the capacity to assess. The court dismissed these arguments in today's ruling. I continue to seek a just and peaceful resolution to the so-called conflict. The ICJ ruled today the international community must hold Israel accountable for its wrongful acts. Scott.
Well, what we're seeing is the world, you know, playing musical chairs and going, you know, going to another room all entirely. They're not playing the game anymore. They're not playing with America anymore. They're not accepting our claims of jurisdiction. They're not claiming, they're not accepting our dollar. They're not accepting our hegemony. They're not accepting our worldview. They're not accepting any of the colloquialisms or the established opinions or jurisdictions or Versailles Treaty, or what was the treaty that carved up the Middle East? Brian will know this one from one. carved up Syria and Turkey and all the rest of it. The Sykes-Picot, you missed the opportunity there, Brian. So Sykes-Picot,
I didn't even know that.
they're not accepting any of the things that America and the British and the Anglo-Saxon world, and this is how Russia always refers to us, the Anglos, the Anglo-Saxon. And I'm not Anglo. I'm Celtic, Scottish, Celtic, German. They're not accepting anything from America. And this is where the migration of opinions, of culture, of economic relationships, of political relationships, follow the money. It's all going to follow the money. And these countries, India, Africa, Asia, the BRICS nations, they would rather start fresh and be in a second first world teetering position than go with the old world and remain in a oppressed, under the thumb, nervous, when's the next American CIA color revolution? When's our gold going to be stolen? When's our assets going to be frozen? That thin ice of walking in the relationship with America, they're not going to tolerate anymore. They're not going that way. I can just sense it. I have an intuition for this kind of thing. And they're all sort of cutting the burlap bag that they had one leg in and America had the other. They're saying, no, no, thank you, but we'll just go our way. And they're doing it in a very kind of soft, backwards, okay, yes, we see you come. Yes, we'll have a relationship with America. Yes, we don't want America to fall. Yes, we want good things. But all the while, they're preparing to just completely exit the room, shut it behind them, and bolt it. And as I said before, treat America like a leper colony that is going into full meltdown, schizophrenic, drunk at a party mode. And I think that's what's going to come. They're not going to be invading through Mexico or anything like this. They're going to let kind of the savagery chew up America. It's like throwing sand into the gears of a machine. All of these immigrants, all these third worlders that the Democrats have brought into America, sand in the machine of America. And it's completely going to break us down, and you're going to have to decompartmentalize different parts of the machine and set it up in different areas, different regions, different states, different confederacies with airtight prohibitions against sand coming in, meaning illegal immigrants. Retards or liberal Democrats or anything like that. We're going to see a complete recoagulation of the American and Western society. And I might add, this is going to happen in Britain too, with all these half-wit savage Africans coming up into Manchester or Paris or places like that. You're going to have a mass migration of people out of these areas, as sad as it is. As much as they love the movie Gigi and remembering Paris and remembering London, sometimes you got to just pick up your bag and go to somewhere safe to restart for your future children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. That's why a lot of people have moved to Russia, because it's safe, because you don't have to worry, because they know how to handle Muslims over there. You get out of line on a train in Russia, you get your ass kicked. And you do it in America, you get prosecuted by the courts, Jim.
Brian.
Okay, when it comes to Gaza, don't expect anything to be any different, whether it's Trump or Kamala Harris. Okay, Kamala Harris is married to Douglas Emhoff. Have you ever asked yourself, how did this retarded bimbo become vice president of the United States? Ask yourself, what happened when she married Douglas Emhoff in August of 2014? While he already had kids, all of a sudden it's a new rise to power. Douglas Emhoff was bar mitzvahed when he was, proper age, has been a member of the local synagogue, does the Capitol Pride marches all over the nation, and he's an entertainment attorney. Now, how does an entertainment attorney end up with Kamala Harris? So, and then Emhoff came front and center after Trump met with Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. And what happened there? Oh, the response was the new anti-Semitism roundtable that was formed up on International Holocaust Remembrance Day, where he went off to the gas chambers of Auschwitz and made a big show. So you'll see Pride Day celebrations with Emhoff and Harris walking down the street, enjoying themselves. So if you've ever wondered who's pulling the strings on Harris, ask yourself who's pulling the strings on Emhoff.
Very good. Very good. Our final story about what happened in Butler. Headline from the Babylonian Bee: Trump indicted for inciting an assassination attempt. Here we have footage, guards, from the event. Check it out.
And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's said, take a look at what happened.
The shooter was seen on the roof 30 minutes prior to the shots. The security circumference was absurd. It should have been twice as large. In fact, it should have covered every single building in the vicinity, not had a little notch to leave the roof where that sniper, think of him as the patsy, was located. Notice the water tower. Here you can see at the bottom the path he took to get up on the roof. He actually is located on the far side rather than near. But again, there's the vicinity of the water tower. We have footage suggesting
That
shots
chart,
were
that chart's a
fired.
couple of months old, and if you want to really see something that's said, take a look at what happened.
New graphic shows how close Trump came to losing his life. Here's a shot of the ear photograph. Another where you have what appears to be a hole about the size of a 22 in his ear. Biden admin told Secret Service director to keep her mouth shut about what really happened. Former Secret Service Dan Bongino spoke with Tucker and Trump Jr. at the RNC revealing bombshell intel. He revealed director of the Secret Service Kimberly Cheadle is ordered by the Biden regime to keep her mouth shut about what really happened and instead spread blatant lies. Cheadle claimed there was nobody on the roof because the building in particular has a slope roof and there's a safety factor to be considered. We wouldn't want to put someone up on a slope roof, so a decision was made to secure the building from inside. Bongino's source, however, said there was supposed to be someone on the roof, but for some odd reason, they didn't show up. Bongino added, "The slope narrative is a nonsense story they're putting out in the media. Nobody knows why the individual assigned didn't show," he further added. His source revealed Cheadle had her job threatened by none other than DHS Secretary Mayorkas if she didn't go along with the lie. Meanwhile, died suddenly. News soon to be unmasked entity bet President Trump's Donald J. Trump stock would plummet one day before the attempt. Shorts against this truth social media more than doubled from July 1st to July 12th, meaning people or large organizations were predicting by Monday the stock would plummet, which undoubtedly would have happened had he died in Pennsylvania. This means some had foreknowledge of the plot and sought a profit from it. It also happened on 9/11. Bets were placed against the stocks of American and United. Investigation showed in both cases a single entity and a well-placed insider tipped off investors to miraculously bet against the top two airlines in the U.S., who took a major hit after the hijackings. The co-chairs of the 9/11 Commission said they tracked it back, and the party involved couldn't have had anything to do with it. Why? because it was a CIA. Meanwhile, Health Ranger, the Austin private wealth company that reports shorted 12 million shares of DJT stock, made a huge, huge bent. Business value would plummet. Guess who the company donates to? Here are a few. ACLU, ADL Austin, Shalom Austin, Jewish Community Center, Camp Young Judea, Congregation Beth Israel, Jewish Austin Academy, Hadasha, 12 million. Now, if you assume those shares were worth, say, 10, we're talking about like $120 million wager. Fascinating, he adds, how Austin Private Wealth, the company that shorted 12 million shares of DJT and 34 million shares of Rumble, say they accidentally added six orders of magnitude to the size of their order and it was a mistake. That's a pretty incredible mistake to make the day before Trump was shot. But it wasn't caught until yesterday. Now they're walking it back. Had Trump been killed, the mistake would have generated hundreds of millions in windfall profits as DJT and Rumble. Would they have walked it back after that or taken the profits? Can someone direct me to a casino where you can take back your bets if they don't pan out? Meanwhile, there's a connection to BlackRock. Here he is with the CEO of BlackRock. On the left, it looks like this is in a BlackRock commercial where the shooter appeared. It looks like a 33 in the frame, though the first digit is likely a cutoff 9. On the actor's shirt on the right is the number 66. 33, of course, is a classic Masonic number, often spotted in false flags. 33 plus 33 equals 66. The number 6666, frequently equated with Satan. Meanwhile, here's Trump in Butler.
This crowd that was behind Donald Trump, they are all crisis actors. I am firmly convinced. I am just going to show you something here. If you reckon this is a coincidence, well, so be it. Check out this woman here and this woman here in the grey. She's looking at a mobile phone pointing at a woman friend next door. But let's just focus on this one here first. She's not really concerned about what's going on, but keep an eye on her. She's sort of looking side to side, no big deal. Chatting to a friend here. Keep an eye on the woman in the black.
Let me get my shoes.
He's going on about his shoes, but we won't worry about that. Just watch what this woman does. Right there, she looks at something, then she's going to look at this guy here. Hang on, watch this. Looks at him. Sort of like she's asking him, what do I do, what do I do? What does she do? She prays. Let's just go back.
Let me get my shoes. Hold on your head, buddy. So we're going to move to class.
She crosses herself, all right? Right there. But then let's focus on this woman here who's looking at her phone. All instructions. Everyone's got the phones. They're all instructions. What do we do? How do we play out this crisis acting? Everyone's got their phones. So she's just crossed herself. No one else is crossing themselves. Why did she cross herself at that point? Have a look at this woman here in the grey. Well, she crosses herself at the same time virtually. Can you believe it? I'll just go back. It's not a coincidence. They are all actors, and I'm going to go through each one of these and point out the bullshit that's going on behind here. Keep an eye on her again.
Let's go!
What's that?
I got you, sir. Let me get my shoes.
Why? Why? She's talking to her girlfriend. She's got her arm next to her. Why all of a sudden does she look around to this bloke here?
Hold on your head, buddy. So we're going to move to
custody. See that? And what does she do? Crosses herself. Then we go up here. She's on the phone. And she crosses herself as well. Come on. Come on. What's going on here? What is she doing looking on the phone? You wouldn't fucking worry about looking on the phone. What's on the phone to look at? Are they instructions for these idiots to act out, whatever? You'd be more...
That's PK. Meanwhile, Mike Stone, forgive Trump his fakery. Why the fake assassination attempt at Donald Trump is a good thing. After years of fake school shooting, fake mail-in ballot, two fake elections, a fake pandemic, and a fake vaccine, I see no harm in a fake shooting designed to win Donald Trump the presidency. Do you? If our choice for president is 4 more years of an imposter, pretend to be Joe Biden or 4 more years of Donald Trump, all take Trump. Would you rather Trump play fair and lose the election? Because the other side is never going to play fair. The other side stole the last two elections at 2020 and 2022. The other side staged a fake pandemic, to millions into taking a deadly vaccine. The other side, along with their followers, is completely unhinged. They would kill Trump, his entire family, and all his supporters if they could. So what's wrong with fighting fire with fire, to put it more accurately? Fighting fakery with fakery. Do you know a single brain-dead Democrat who feels even the slightest remorse over the last two stolen elections? Of course you don't. They are incapable of remorse. If you don't believe me, ask your Democrat friends or family members if they feel bad about the stolen presidential election of 2020 or the stolen midterm of 2022. You don't have to tell me how they'll respond. I already know. If they feel no remorse over the crooked dealing of their political leaders, why should you feel remorse over Donald Trump giving them a taste of their own medicine? And when Trump wins in November, you should openly gloat about it and rub it in as much as you can. Man, if they hadn't tried to kill Trump, he never would have won. What a lucky break. And I think some people actually thought that shooting was fake. Go ahead, do it. Have fun for a change. For those still teetering on the fence, whether this event was real or fake, consider the assassination attempt of Trump fit 7 of my 12 telltale signs of a fake shooting. The 7 signs in this shooting are no blood, no bodies, no surveillance video, GoFundMe account set up within 24 hours, nonstop media coverage, evidence immediately destroyed, the alleged perps immediately caught or killed, multiple shooters, principals involved are current or former actors. He goes through it. First, no blood, no body, no surveillance video, no photographic evidence. Corey Compentari was killed. Have you seen his bloody corpse? I haven't. Nobody has. Compentari has been described as a volunteer fire chief for Buffalo Township Fire Company 27. But did you see the memorial they set up at his own fire station? They spelled his name wrong. Then they did again at the Republican National Convention. Was it because the Buffalo Township Fire Company never heard of the guy? Or was it a subtle tell to those in the know? They do that, you know, they throw a little sign to rub it in. Why do you think that video of a smirking Robbie Parker was leaked to the public? It wasn't done by accident. Second, GoFundMe accounts within 24 hours. The GoFundMe accounts went up so fast, it's as if they had already been planned and they raised millions. Third, nonstop media coverage. The entire mainstream is claiming without exception the incident was an assassination by a lone gunman. In case you forgot, the first rule when it comes to analyzing data as the actual truth is the exact opposite of whatever the mainstream is reporting. That's held true 100% of the time for the best 100 plus years. Why would this be the exception? Remember, these are the same people who told you a non-existent virus was out to kill you. The same people who told you a deadly and fake vaccine was safe and effective. The same people who told you a man pretending to be Joe Biden got 81 million votes in the 2020 election. Did you forget all that? The media has zero credibility. If they're claiming it was a real assassination attempt, you can bet your bottom dollar it wasn't. Fourth, evidence immediately destroyed. Police have already hosed down the roof of the building where the alleged shooter was said to be, along with the roof where the counter sniper was. Why do you think they did that so fast? Fifth, the alleged perpetrator immediately got her killed. Yup, a feminine acting soy boy with no motive whatsoever to shoot at Trump. He's gone now, if he ever existed, and can't be questioned. Dead men tell no tale. Multiple shooters, six. We knew of numerous eyewitnesses who claim they saw multiple shooters at the event, seven. Principals involved are current or former actors. Donald Trump is an actor, and a pretty good one, or did you forget that? Of course, I can't leave this topic without warning you. Even with Trump in the White House, nothing is going to change in the long run. People are too mired in sin, too intent on damning their souls to hell for anything substantial to change. And what in the world is going on with the Republican Party? As Andrew Anglin put it after watching the RNC, it's strippers, it's homos, it's foreign religious ritual, fake ear bandages, believing stupid shooting hoaxes, it's calling for mass immigration from India. It's endless wars with Israel's enemies. I will say this about the RNC. Kai Trump, his 17-year-old granddaughter, did a good job of humanizing her grandfather. Meanwhile, it turns out there were lots of announcements of the event before it happened. A very serious tell. There were a lot of them, believe it or not, a lot.
Day before, huh?
Get this, some say Trump deserves the Academy Award. Now, PK created this, Trump coming clean about it. A number of F-bombs here, be warned. Not for those with delicate ears.
Thank you, I'm okay. Everything's okay. This was all planned. That's why I'm going to pump my fist now. Everyone whose life is in danger just does a photo op. I know that's the first thing all of you would do after being shot at. Stand up and raise your fist like you're 100% positive there will be no more incoming fire in your position. We needed to do this to boost the ratings. A lot of people weren't believing in elections anymore. And after Operation Warp Speed, I really needed people to believe that I was on their side again. But don't worry, there will be hundreds of hours of conspiracy for all of you to look into about how this isn't what the mainstream media is presenting and all the secret societies and foundations are behind this. And then I'll fuck you over again for the next 4 years, and this will all be a distant memory. If the control...
What happened? What happened? Is this really Trump? This is
no,
fake, right?
No.
It's a video simulation.
Yeah.
He's got a lot more to say, but we lost it, and we're sorry to say. Very good.
Thank you. I'm okay. Everything's okay. This was all planned. That's why I'm going to pump my fist now. Everyone whose life is in danger just does a photo op. I know that's the first thing all of you would do after being shot at. Stand up and raise your fist like you're 100% positive there will be no more incoming fire in your position. We needed to do this to boost the ratings. A lot of people weren't believing in elections anymore. And after Operation Warp Speed, I really needed people to believe that I was on their side again. But don't worry, there will be hundreds of hours of conspiracy for all of you to look into about how this isn't what the mainstream media is presenting and all the secret societies and foundations are behind this. And then I'll fuck you over again for the next 4 years, and this will all be a distant memory. If the control...
I don't know why. He mentioned Robbie Parker. If you want to learn more about the Sandy Hook Hawks, check out Fake News of Truth versus Alex Jones. Robert Barnes, a celebrated attorney, said of his visit to the Alex Jones trial in Austin, that was unlike any courtroom he'd ever seen, with three cameras, one of which was pointed at the jury and that it looked like a made-for-TV movie. That's because it was. Scott, your thoughts.
Well, I said at the very beginning, the first interview on RT after this event, it's either a real event organically, naturally, and Trump has been miraculously spared, and it is going to, of course, turn in his favor as a result, or it is a brilliant psychological operation designed to achieve the same brilliant result of political manipulation of the masses into his favor in order to pursue an agenda which may include endless wars under the controller Zionist regime that controls Congress and other things. But, you know, the wild card is there are Americans that are, you know, ready for a revolution to overthrow both of these parties and all of these people in Washington, D.C., because they're done living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they're ready, willing, and able for the fire and brimstone to come down upon it. This looks and sounds like a psychological operation, especially when there's no blood on his hand. And I can also empathize with the theory of and the thesis of the author Stone when he says Democrats will never play fair, so why not allow this psyop to guarantee Trump going through? Well, I can and appreciate that to an extent, but I'm also distrusting because I do not trust Trump to come in and not do a replay of, you know, assassinations against Soleimani, bringing Bolton and Pompeo and Nikki Haley back in like they'd never left, and obediently bowing before the Wailing Wall and doing other things that lead to a cataclysmic collapse of the United States. So I think we're in 1776 all over again, and the sooner we lock our muskets and put on our bayonets and commit to our own independence, the healthier we'll be, Jim.
Brian.
I have a lot of respect for PK. I've been watching him for years. He was one of the guys that helped me wake up from my stupor. That was the Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting. Ask yourself some questions about this versus January 6th, because the same techniques were employed at both events. The, you know, the fake murder, the bombs, remember the January 6th pipe bombs. And then in this one, this kid supposedly had bombs on his van. We have shooters from multiple perspectives. I was deeply concerned from the very beginning about the Patsy story. That was day one. I said, this guy's a Patsy. Now, I had questions that continued to arise, whether or not real projectiles were used. I suspect that all the experts are going to come down on the side of they were not used, that this is another false flag event. And it appears, if that's the case, that remember, Donald Trump showed up in Las Vegas. The guy that got shot in the leg got out of the hospital bed, you know, saluted. And that was the point where I realized, hey, wait a second. This guy he's not going to expose this. He's going to be a part of this. It is what it is. It appears to me that the Republicans have just simply adopted the DEI, LGBTQ agenda that the Democrats had pushed because the Democrats are falling out of favor. And now it's the same Mossad trickery that's always been taking place before. It's now just being employed on behalf of the. I imagine you'll see a lot of Democrats becoming conspiracy theorists when this is all said and done, which is good for our movement. Maybe there'll be more researchers out there, although they don't know how to research for shit. So I wouldn't expect them to do anything that breaks from the mainstream media. The story never made sense from the very beginning. It didn't make sense from the first 5 minutes. The moment I saw the bomb and that ridiculous photograph of a bullet streaking through the air, I knew something was very, very fishy. As for these events, I can tell you there were real people inside the event at Las Vegas that observed and documented what took place that were not crisis actors, that exposed it as much as they possibly could. And it was overwhelmed, suppressed, and shut down from all different angles. We're seeing the same thing happening here with the water tower shooter. We're seeing the same thing happening with any secondary theory. So far, the only theory you'll hear on mainstream media and everything else is hushed, hushed, and put down, or even in Congress, the only theory that you're ever going to hear is that this was a bunch of clowns in the Secret Service that made a bunch of mistakes, and too bad, so sad, we'll fix them next time. That doesn't hold any water whatsoever with any thinking human being anywhere. So why do they continue to gaslight the American public with that angle?
Wonderful, wonderful, gentlemen. Don, take us out.
Yeah, I will say the mainstream media, of course, this is truth versus news. The news people have gone 24/7 on like Biden's quitting and the shooting and everything else. They won't let anything else. They would repeat and repeat 100 times. But they wouldn't do any other investigation or let any other news or real things happening come in. They are controlling, folks, and we are the truth that is upsetting their apple cart. And the more this truth gets out, the harder it is for them to keep on deceiving us and killing us and destroying this country. So our show is, I think, one of the most vital shows you'll hear. So thank you for watching. Thank you for caring. And thank you for sharing. This has been a great July 22nd, and we're going to have another exciting hot week, I guess, and we'll see you next week. But thank you, and share this widely. Love you all. Bye now.